Watch fingers while I open, Guff said as he inserted the handle of his wrench into the flimsy, mechanical lock of a tall metal cabinet. Tuk-Tuk stopped scooping items from an adjacent cabinet long enough to say, Next one mine. He removed a clear bottle filled with a fragrant, viscous liquid, studied it with his one good eye, and then discarded it onto a pile of towels and cloth uniforms in the center of the white-walled room. This one no good. They all no good, Guff grumbled, levering the wrench and snapping the lock. No complain, Flim barked, picking through the pile. Search! Dadab shook his head and sat down on a bench beside the pile. Even though he had insisted that Rapid Conversion's luminary hadn't found any relics on the orbital, Flim was convinced the Deacon was lying, attempting to keep the orbital's hidden treasures for himself. And as obvious as it was that they were rooting through a room where the aliens did nothing but wash and dress, Flim refused to give up until he got results. Watch step, he growled as Guff accidentally stepped on one of the many flexible tubes littering the floor. The tube popped its top, spraying Flim's shins with a sticky, ivory-colored cream. Flim cuffed Guff's head as the bow-legged ungoy kneeled and dabbed at the mess with one of the towels. Tuk-Tuk tried to take advantage of the distraction and slyly pulled a flat metal case from the top of the newly opened cabinet, but Flim caught him in the act. Bring that to me, he snapped. Dadab guessed the case was just a signal unit or some basic thinking machine that belonged to one of the orbital's absent crew. Compared to the circuits in the control room, the case was worthless. But as much as it pained Dadab to perpetuate the charade of their holy investigation, he affected a passably curious tone.
May I see that when you're finished?
Why, Flim replied, snatching the case from Tuk-Tuk.
I found one like it a few cycles ago. I believe they're part of a set, the Deacon lied. If we could find all of them.
Flim narrowed his eyes.
Yes.
Well, they would be a lot more valuable. The Ministry would reward us handsomely.
How reward?
Oh, anything you might desire, Dadab shrugged. Within reason, of course.
Flim blinked his wide-set eyes and prioritized his desires, some more reasonable than others. Then he growled at Guff.
No clean. Search.
Guff gladly tossed the gummy towel aside, retrieved his wrench, and made ready to break open another cabinet. Dadab drew a short breath and feigned a cough.
Running low, he said,
reaching around to wrap his knuckles on his methane tank.
Need a refill.
Flim didn't protest. He had temporarily lifted his mask and was testing the hardness of the case with his closely packed and pointed teeth.
I will soon return,
Dadab added in a casual tone, walking out of the room toward the walkway. Of course, he had plenty of methane, but the Deacon had spent almost a whole cycle with the other ungoy, and he desperately wanted some time alone with Lighter Than Some. The Huragok had made some very cryptic comments about the Jirulhane. Dadab had seen the chieftain in the hangar and remembered his injured leg. Something was happening on the alien planet, and the Deacon wanted to know exactly what. As he dog-legged around a junction, he felt the orbital tremble. Curious despite his haste, he looked out one of the thick windows that faced the junction's interior. It was hard to tell for sure, but Dadab thought he saw the cable vibrate. That's odd, he thought, pulling away from the window. But then he saw a red light begin to flash above a nearby airlock, one connected to a retractable gantry inside the junction. And he froze with fear. It took a chiming alarm to get him moving again around the junction to the control room, pounding his stubby legs as fast as they would go. Inside, Dadab found Lighter Than Some, its tentacles once more thrust inside the central tower. He snorted loudly to get the creature's attention.
What have you done?
The Deacon signed.
Repaired these circuits.
You have made this orbital active?
No, the Huragok trembled with delight.
I have put our wrongs to right.
Dadab was both puzzled and terrified by Lighter Than Some's pronouncement, but just as he was about to ask for clarification, Maccabeus's voice roared from his signal unit.
Deacon! Deacon, do you hear me?
Yes, chieftain,
Dadab stammered. The timing of the signal made it seem as though the chieftain was keeping watch inside the control center, as if he was fully aware of Dadab's complicity in the Huragok's sinful reassociation of the alien circuits.
The aliens have attacked us! Disabled the cruiser!
Dadab's knees wobbled with amplified terror. How could that be?
They are ascending to the orbital, the chieftain continued. You must hold them back until I can send aid.
Dadab pointed toward the towers. Destroy those circuits.
I will not. The chieftain commands it.
Usually, the Huragok expressed disagreement with an impolite emission, but this time it kept its valves closed, emphasizing its own resolve.
I no longer serve the Jirohane.
What? Why?
They throw hunting rocks.
I don't understand.
The chieftain will burn this world. He will kill them all.
The aliens will take this facility. They will kill us, Dadab countered. Lighter than some relaxed its limbs. It had said all it cared to say.
The deacon unclipped his plasma pistol from his harness and took aim at the towers.
The Huragok drifted into his line of fire.
Move, Dadab signed with his free hand.
But the Huragok did not. The deacon did his best to keep his friend firmly in his sights, but his hand was shaking, compromising his grammar as well as his aim.
Move or I, you, shoot.
All creatures will take the great journey, so long as they believe. The Huragok's limbs unfurled with slow grace.
Why would the prophets deny these aliens a chance to walk the path?
Dadab cocked his head. It was a valid question.
We must let none escape, Maccabeus thundered. Tell me you understand, Deacon.
Dadab lowered his pistol.
No, chieftain, I do not.
Then he switched his signal unit off.